Welcome to another episode of Dimes of Crime. This is your host, Richa.
And I'm Haley.
All right, we're going to get right into it in terms of, like, Haley and I have big feelings this week.
Yes.
About just the week, the world, what's been happening around us. So we're going to actually take a minute this time to talk about our lives, other people's lives, the world in general, and then we'll get into our regularly scheduled programming. So, to start, what are you drinking, Haley?
Gatorade, because I don't feel good.
Yeah.
Again, I'm sick water. Again.
Aw. I'm drinking water, so I feel you on that. You know, I want to also take a moment to just say that our heartfelt prayers and thoughts to the families that suffered loss in the Texas school elementary school shooting. I don't know how to describe how sad that made Haley and I feel. I don't even think we could actually have a conversation about it with each other over text. I don't even think we talked in person, but over text, I don't think we could get through it. So I can only imagine what the parents are going through. So yep, just a moment to recognize their loss. And I know thoughts and prayers don't do much, but that's really all that we are capable of doing right now. I did donate to a few things to help, to a few GoFundMes that I saw going around. But, you know, that's everyone doesn't have the privilege to do that. So whatever little I could do, I did. I'm not saying that people who didn't are bad. It's just taking a minute to acknowledge that I did feel, I don't know, helpless to some extent. So I can't even imagine what the parents were going through. But yeah.
Yeah. So rough. It's definitely a hard one.
Yeah. That combined.
It makes me so depressed, and it was really hard for me to get out of bed. I feel like I cried every day and I wasn't directly affected by it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just all of this just hits differently to me as a mom. And again, I'm not trying to fight a political battle here. I'm not going to state what my political opinions are. I'm just stating the fact that as a mom, and I was sharing this with my husband, and I know I shared this with you too, Haley, is the idea that you drop your child off at school, and sometimes you're so rushed, like we're running late, like I'm going to go to work and I'll see you later, honey, and I'll see you, you know, when I make you lunch or something and I put you to bed. And the fact that some of those parents didn't get to do that day absolutely chillingly breaks my heart. I mean, it's hard not to break down in tears right now because I have to kind of keep my shit together for this podcast. And if I cry, then Haley will cry and it'll just be like a whole big mess. So, but it's really tough. And so I'm really sorry for the loss of the parents, loss of the families of the two teachers that passed, anyone else that was injured. It's a hard thing and I am just sorry. That's it.
I know. That's all we can really do.
Yeah. And then other than that, like I know Haley's sick. Haley's toddler also turned 2 this week, which is yay. My godson and my nephew is 2, which is crazy to me because Haley and I met before. Obviously, either of us had kids. So the fact that Haley has a 2-year-old toddler now is completely unimaginable to me.
Yeah, me too.
And then Haley is really sick. For me, it's a tough week because I've had a death in the family. It's a grandparent, you know, and it's never easy, even if they are kind of old. I mean, my grandpa lived a very long and fulfilled life for which I'm very grateful, but it's still tough. So if our spirits seem down this week in our voices and in our demeanor, you know, here's a little bit of an explanation and insight into why. We try to keep it very real with you guys. And so, you know, we're still trying to keep content coming, but it was hard for both Haley and I this week to get through it. So bear with us if we're not as peppy. So that being said, disclaimers still apply. If you're not listening to us on headphones and you're around kids or people who don't like true crime, because not everyone likes this genre, please be courteous and put us on headphones. We do sometimes discuss graphic and gory details. You know, that's just the nature of true crime. So, yeah, just be vigilant to that. All right. Well, that being said, let's get started. Today's story starts on, and I did not tell Haley the name ahead of time, so she was not able to Google. So all of her reactions will be authentic. So today's story starts on July 9th, 2007. A 19-year-old girl, and this is, wait, I know I'm going to get into tangents early, but I always do. A 19-year-old girl, is it a girl or a woman? I'm not really sure. Honestly, at what point do you transition from a girl to a woman? Is it an age thing? Like after 18, you're now a woman because you're an adult? Or do you have to be in a phase of your life? Like only after you're an aunt or a mom or something? I don't know. It's just a thought that I had. What is the appropriate time to refer to someone as a girl or a woman? I have no idea.
I think, 18 is the legal definition of an adult. And so that makes you a woman, I guess. But in my way, it has nothing to do with like if you have kids or if you don't have kids or whatever. It's more of a maturity.
Yeah.
Like we each have our own aspects of that, you know?
Yeah. And so in this case, because I'm describing a story, I obviously don't know these people in person. I don't know what that maturity level is. So, if you guys disagree with how I described this person, I'm sorry. But I honestly just had this thought and I thought I'd share. Anyway, so this 19-year-old, let's go with woman, Heather Johnston, is praying for a second chance and hoping she won't end up in prison. Dun, dun, dun. We're starting with a cliffhanger. had everything gone as Heather and her family had planned, she would have been completing her first year in college. But life sometimes takes devious turns, and universe had something else in store for her. In 2006, just a year before July 2007, Heather Johnston was a great student with high grades and a star tennis player. She had a great supportive family. And, you know, I find this weird. The sources here also mention that her family was a church-going family. Now, for those who can't see me, I'm putting this in quotes. I'm not saying this to offend anyone, but if it does, I'm very sorry. But I don't think adding that description of a church-going family really means anything to me. Like in this case, obviously, the sources meant it to be a good thing. But honestly, I've heard about plenty of true crime cases where churchgoers were involved. And so maybe it's about time we like stop adding this particular bullet point to the resume in the description. Like it has something to do with the actions of the person. I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense. It's just a fact, right? Like someone goes to church is something that they do. I don't think it defines that person's inner being. Mm-mm. It's just right. A thing that they do to me, right? And if this offends someone, I'm sorry, but it's just, I don't know. I was just thinking about that.
Right.
That every source I read about this case mentioned that Heather Johnston had a very great, supportive, and amazing family, but they happened to also add church-going family. Anyways, so sorry for that long rant. Moving on. Going back to it, Heather was a great student, and from the looks of it, had a great, supportive, affectionate family. I read in a source that her mom was an elementary school teacher, and I mentioned this only to describe that she had a very wholesome childhood. I know that I've discussed in the past that understanding people's childhoods helps me rationalize things, but in this case, she had a very good childhood. Her talent in tennis had also won her a scholarship to college, but like any teen, and especially a teen considering higher education, she also felt the stress and the struggles of not having enough money. I'm assuming in this case by reading into it that the scholarship was not a full ride and that school debt was going to be a thing in her adult life post-graduation. So it was obviously in the back of her mind. According to one of the sources I read, her mom said that she had met new friends in her senior year of high school, and that's where it all started to go downhill. Soon after meeting these new friends who have not been named in these sources, so if you have questions about that, I don't have that answer. She started to work as an exotic dancer. This is where she met a fellow dancer named Ashley Miller. And soon enough, Heather, a girl who had wanted to become a dental hygienist, soon went far off track from the life she had envisioned for herself. Heather had kept her night job a secret from her family. She knew, obviously, that they wouldn't approve, but was also enticed and enjoyed making upwards of $1,000 in just a few days. That is a lot of money
for a teenager. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's even a lot of money for me at this moment in my life.
Yeah, it's very, very enticing. It's a lot of money for me in just a few days. The family finally found out, and gave her an ultimatum to either quit the job or move out, and Heather chose to move out. She moved in with her new friend, Ashley Miller, the fellow dancer she had met at her night job. Heather said, I quote, "I went wild. I was on drugs most of the time. I didn't care what anyone had to say. I was going to do it my way," end quote. Together as 19-year-old girls, they were both 19, Ashley Miller and Heather, they enjoyed their newfound freedom and in general enabled each other's destructive behavior. They both partied a lot, drank.
Sounds about right.
Partied a lot, drank, did drugs, and just hung out while enjoying their life, job, and the money that came along with it. One night at their house, Ashley, Ashley's boyfriend Michael Chastang, and Heather were hanging out, doing drugs and drinking when they began joking about the idea of them robbing a bank. In an interview, Heather said that the next day, Ashley's boyfriend Michael called with specific instructions. Apparently, Michael had just ran with it. He knew a bank teller named Benny Herman Allen II at a local Bank of America branch and suggested that this teller could be their inside man who would help them rob the bank. And before Heather knew it, what started off as a drunk joke in their apartment was now an actual plan. So we're going to take a minute here because I want to take the time to introduce a great podcast that we're doing a promo swap with, but also because Haley and I just love finding new podcasts, smaller podcasts especially, because we're in the same boat, so we like to promote them. It's called The Rot Truth. They're about female infidelity, and here's the promo.
Ladies, have you been led astray? Did you diddle where maybe you shouldn't have dabbled? Have you been unfaithful to your husband, wife, partner, main squeeze? Well, there's a judgment-free podcast just for you. Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity, hosted by Rebecca Adams, tells the stories of these women from their perspective, anonymously and without judgment.
I met the first man I had an emotional affair with online. He was far away, but he provided me with all of the emotional validation that my marriage was lacking. The first time we talked, he showed an interest in me as a person. It was refreshing.
If you need to come clean, get it off your chest, confess your sins with no Hail Marys required, then Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity is the podcast for you. And remember, it's completely anonymous and judgment-free.
Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe today.
So, coming back to it, you know, Heather and Ashley joked about robbing a bank. Ashley's boyfriend, Michael, turns it into an actual plan. He recommends that there's an inside man, a bank teller at a Bank of America branch called Benny Herman Allen II that they could use to rob the bank. Before she knew it, Heather was on the phone with Benny writing down specific instructions on which Bank of America branch to go to and what to write on a note that she would then slip to Benny himself in order to make it look like a robbery.
Wait, so how does she know which one to go to?
The inside man that Michael recommended, she gets on the phone with him, Benny, and he tells her where to go and exactly what to write on a specific note to hand to him. Because it's like a window you walk up to, so you have to hand them notes, yeah. Heather even admitted that the prospect of committing this bank robbery and having more money excited and thrilled her. You are 19, I mean, I don't know. As weak as this plan sounds, you can likely guess that when it came to the execution, nothing went as planned. On February 27th, 2007, Heather and Ashley drove to get this, the wrong Bank of America branch.
Even though they wrote it on the thing.
Heather said, I quote, "We took a wrong turn somewhere. Ended up going to a completely different Bank of America," end quote. When they realized that Benny wasn't there, they ended up calling him to get directions to the branch that he was actually in. I just find that really hilarious. Like, rolled out of bed today, gonna rob a bank, no big deal.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, if you're gonna rob a bank, like, plan it out, like, go scope it out. I don't know.
I mean, none of this is very well thought out, so I'm not going to waste my breath like complaining about anything, but it is what it is. They finally arrived at the branch Benny was at. It was in Acworth, Georgia, a suburb right outside Atlanta. And before long, they were at Benny's window, not realizing, also right in front of a surveillance camera that captured all the pictures of these two teenage girls. Later surveillance footage would show the two smiling young women in tight jeans and designer sunglasses slipped a note to a bank teller that read, quote, "Remember, I will not hesitate to kill you," end quote. Now, remember, Benny is in on this heist. He's the one who told Ashley and Heather exactly what to write on the note and where to come, what time to show up. But he claims that he was so freaked out and shocked that suddenly he just started giving them $11,000. And he was moving that from the cash register to now Heather and Ashley. Heather said, I quote, "Benny started throwing it out, and it was like going everywhere. So I was pushing it. Ashley was grabbing it, putting it, throwing it in the bag. We were so scared. My heart was like, I think it stopped at one point, and I looked over. We looked at each other, and we just started running." End quote.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what to say about this. This entire story was a shock. I feel like I need to share how I came across the story. I was kind of feeling too down this week, like I explained at the beginning of the episode, to even do something super serious and super heavy. So I honestly started Googling female bank robbers, and this was the first one that came up. And so I'm not really entirely sure what to say about that quote, because it's such a random story to me that I'm still sort of processing from my notes what is actually happening. The idea that this 19-year-old girl was on such a great track and then she decided to take this turn, completely 180 of what she was planning to do, and then somehow she ends up deciding to rob a bank with absolutely no plan, no...
And she's making good money.
Yeah, I just don't understand. For $11,000, I'm going to get into that a little bit more, but it's just a bizarre... And for someone who was making good grades in high school, I feel like maybe she would have had the sensibility to do pros and cons, but they are teenagers, so I don't know. I have no idea.
Just impulse.
Yeah, it's very impulsive. So after Heather and Ashley escaped with the cash and made it to their apartment, they started to separate the cash in their individual piles. Heather at that point explained to Ashley that they would actually have to split this money with Michael, Ashley's boyfriend, and Benny as well. After all was said and done, each person only received a few thousand dollars, because $11,000 divided by four, according to my math, is not even $3,000 a person. It's a little less, actually. Dang. So it's like two grand and change and a few hundred dollars. And considering that they were making upwards of $1,000 every few days, they would have made this amount of money in a week and some days. I just don't understand the point.
Yeah, silly.
So impulsive, yeah. Again, Haley and I have talked about this. Like, it sounds like a very impulsive crime, and I'm still trying to process that. So once they had their shares, they both immediately began to make plans on how to spend this cash. Heather said, I quote, "We went straight to the mall to get whatever we wanted," end quote. Still laughing. Apparently, I just don't understand. Mall, like, it's weird. Apparently, what they really wanted was highlights.
Like hair highlights?
Okay, I'm going to take another... Yes, I'm going to take another side note here. I just got my hair done today, and I paid under $200 for a cut, blow dry, and highlights. And that included a very generous trip. And I thought that was a whole bunch of money. So I don't know what kind of highlights these women were getting to spend thousands of dollars on it. Like, you just got, what, $2,700, something like that, dollars. And your first thought is, I need highlights? It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, silly.
I don't know. I mean, I know this isn't important, but I just would really like to know, and I couldn't find it anywhere, if they bought or had planned to buy anything else, or was it literally just getting highlights? If anyone knows that answer, I really want to know. Going back to our OG episodes, why are criminals so dumb? I will never understand. Little did Ashley and Heather know that their trip to the mall was also caught on surveillance video at one of Atlanta's priciest hair salons. It's called Karma. That's Karma. Just a pun. I'm not saying the salon was called Karma. I just put that in there.
I thought the salon was called Karma.
No, yeah, that's just me making a very bad time joke. As they sat down and enjoyed the head massage, from what I assume, them shampooing their hair. Because, I mean, at pricey hair salons, they're at least giving you a head massage, right? Like, I hope so. And their pampering session, detectives in Atlanta were hard at work in getting tips. The biggest one being all this trail of surveillance footage that they had unknowingly left behind. After hundreds of calls into the Cobb County Police Department,
did they not even wear masks or anything?
Nope. Literally just rolled up in tight jeans, cute shirts, and sunglasses. There's pictures you guys can Google. We'll link them. I'll put some on Instagram and Twitter. But yeah, they did not care.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So after hundreds of calls into the Cobb County Police Department, coupled with the surveillance footage, this was a media frenzy. And Ashley and Heather were soon dubbed the Barbie Bandits. Bandits. A name that came about because of not just their appearance, but their casual, lack of remorseful way in which they robbed the bank. Apparently, in the surveillance footage, when they're robbing the bank, they had big smiles like they were just out running errands, like it was no big deal. I'm still in shock, but I'm also numb from the week, so I can't really show that in emotion over voice as well. But I still can't believe that they did all of this for just a few thousand dollars. I'm not saying a few thousand dollars is not a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money for me to jeopardize your entire future. I just don't understand.
Go to jail.
Yeah. It's a very hard twist, like 0 to 100 in a few seconds. That's what the story is to me. 2 days after the heist, on March 2nd, 2011, Ashley, Heather, and Michael, who were aware that the police were closing in on them, decided to get in their car and run. I'm glad they waited 2 days. I'm not really sure why they didn't run before, but
maybe they just found out they're on the trail.
I have no idea. As they drove away, the police followed, and after a short car chase, the three were arrested next to a Six Flags in Georgia. When they were arrested, there was marijuana in the car, and Michael in person had marijuana and ecstasy pills on him.
Okay, so you're running from the police. You're probably going to get caught, but we're also going to have drugs in our car. Let's just make this even worse.
There's a lot of thought here. Okay, Haley, I've robbed a bank. I need to look good. So I'm going to go get my hair done. And then I'm going to wait a couple of days to figure it out that the police might be looking for me. So I think I'm going to run, but I'm not going to grab any essentials. I'm just going to grab all this weed and ecstasy. So that the ride is easier. I have no idea.
Yeah, like, where are you going to go? Where are you running to?
It's just a very sharp decline in critical thinking skills for the 19-year-old Heather, is all I'm saying. Clearly, she was on track.
So I think it's appropriate to call them girls.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I'm not entirely sure if these were just bad decisions, impulsive decisions, or some sort of rebellious nature. I have no idea, but it is very perplexing to me. Anyway, some say that in order to protect Michael, Ashley herself said that those pills that were found on Michael were actually hers and that Michael was just holding them for her. So if you guys don't remember, Michael's actually Ashley's boyfriend. So maybe she's trying to protect him. Later on, Ashley also admitted to being a drug dealer, and that's when Heather realized that she was actually in a lot of trouble. And she actually quotes that at some point, is when Ashley admitted to being a drug dealer, I realized that I was in a lot of trouble. And I'm like, no shit. I think you should have realized that the moment you went to the wrong Bank of America branch. Like, that's when you guys should have turned around and been like, I don't think we know what we're doing. You know, there were a lot of moments where they could have paused, reflected, and been like, maybe today is not the day. Let's give it like another month where we plan a little bit better. Anyways, Ashley Miller was convicted of theft and drug distribution. She paid a fine of $2,500 and was sentenced to a maximum of 10 years. Heather pleaded guilty to robbery and drug use and was sentenced to 10 years probation with community service and a fine of $2,500. Michael Chastain and Benny Allen Herman II were both sentenced to the maximum 10-year prison time. And that's it, guys. That's all I have for today. I think actually I did read that Heather might be out at some point and she wants a second chance at college or whatever. But I'm not entirely sure. There isn't a lot out there on this case. Yeah. After. And what happened after. And this case also did happen 15 years ago. You know, when I was writing up this case, it said July 9, 2007. And I'm like, oh, that's not too far away. And then somewhere I did the math and I was like, wow, that's like almost 15 years ago.
Well, if there was to 10 years, they're probably both done. Yeah. Their sentences.
I mean.
And the one was just on probation.
Yeah.
Heather was on probation and Ashley got 10 years in prison.
Yep. Heather was on probation and Ashley got 10 years. They both got fines of $2,500.
Wonder what they're doing with their lives now.
Getting highlights, maybe. I don't know. Those must have really gotten messed up in jail. So they got to get the
I bet. They probably got it chopped.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get those roots touched up. The roots are probably your entire hair now, but.
Yeah. I wish we could know where they are now.
Yeah.
I tried looking. No, I didn't see anything.
Yeah. I hope that they've gotten out and made something of themselves that's not as impulsive, or learned from their mistakes at least. And by that I don't just mean like make a better plan next time, like just don't try criminal activities. But yeah, all of this, obviously I did also read that it was really devastating for Heather's mom. She said, you know, I thought, what did I do wrong? And I feel for her, because obviously what are you going to do when at some point your kids are adults and make their own choices, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, that was our mini episode for the week.
Yeah, we're keeping it short this week, so
yeah, at least we showed up, so
yeah,
next week,
yep,
be good. I don't know what I'm doing yet.
Yeah, and maybe we'll start a Patreon at some point, you know, where when there's hard weeks like this, which almost everyone in life has. If you don't have hard weeks, then you're not human to me. When we do Patreon, maybe we'll just do weeks where we just talk about life and, you know, open up to you guys as listeners to see what you guys want us to talk about. But that's a project for another day when Haley and I have better weeks.
Yeah, definitely not this week. There's been a lot going on.
Yeah.
Anyways, we will see you guys next week with a drink in hand.
Don't let the murder thoughts bite. Good night.